This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good evening. We're going to learn Parshas Tetzaveh this evening. And if we examine Parshas Tetzaveh, we will see that there is a feature of Parshas Tetzaveh that you don't have in any other parsha in the Torah from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu is born. And what is that? Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in this week's parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. And it's a well-known question, and there are many well-known answers. We're going to first examine three of them, but then we're going to try to offer a new answer that is a Yadavar Chadash, really something very innovative. Okay, so the question is, why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name left out of this week's parsha? What do we have against Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parsha? So the first answer, if you look at number one, is given by Rabbeinu Bechaye. And Rabbeinu Bechaye says, we know that after the Chet HaEgel, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, I'm going to wipe you out. I'm going to wipe out Klal Yisrael, and I'll make a new nation from you. Moshe said, no. Either leave them be, otherwise wipe me out of your book. So what did Hashem do? Hashem decided, fine, I'll keep Klal Yisrael around. But we know when a tzaddik makes a klala, even if it's on condition, and even if the condition is not met, the klala still comes to fruition. In other words, the tzaddik said he wants his name out of the book. But it was on condition. It was on condition that Hashem, Hashem wipes out Klal Yisrael. Hashem didn't wipe out Klal Yisrael. Nevertheless, when a tzaddik says words, they come to be. Like when Yaakov said to Lavan, whoever has your idols should not live. Now, who had the idols? Rachel. Now, if Yaakov would have realized that Rachel had the idols, he never would have said, whoever has them should not live. Nevertheless, when a tzaddik says words, they come, they happen. Even if or Yehuda. Remember when Yehuda says to Yaakov Avinu, look, I'll take Binyamin down to Mitzrayim, and I'll bring him up, and if I don't bring him back to you, then I will be sinning to you in this world and in the world to come. Yehuda, at the end of the day, brought Binyamin back to Yaakov. Nevertheless, because he said, I'll be sinning to you in this world and in the world to come, Yehuda had a hard time getting into Olam Haba. It says, you know, he had a very difficult time getting into the Yeshiva Shalmala. Okay, so that's the first answer. Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear in this week's parsha because he said, wipe me out of the Sefer Torah. The second answer is that since Moshe Rabbeinu was really destined to be Kohen Gadol, really Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol, and it was taken away from him. And of course, what does this week's parsha talk about? What's the main theme of this week's parsha? The big day kahuna, the garments that the Kohanim wore when they did the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem didn't want Moshe to have Agmas Nefesh. He didn't want Moshe to have heartache. Here he's going to read about the big day kahuna, and his name is going to be there, and yet he has no share in it. So Hashem said, I'll leave your name out. This way you don't have to suffer when you read about something that you can't partake of. Okay, that's the second reason. And the third reason given by the Sefer Divrei Eliyahu is that the yard site of Moshe Rabbeinu is what day of the year? Zayin Adar. It always falls out the week of Parshat Tetzaveh. So as a way to sort of, you know, shake us up and say, oh, what's Moshe Rabbeinu's name not doing this week's parsha? Oh, it's his yard site. It's sort of a way for us to remember this is the yard site of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's another reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in this week's parsha. So again, either because Moshe Rabbeinu said, wipe me out of the Sefer Torah, or because really he was supposed to be a Kohen Gadol, or because this is the week of his yard site. But Mirtz Hashem, we are going to try to offer a brand new reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in this week's parsha. Okay. Number two, we come to another issue. And that is, anybody know, is Purim a Yom Tov? No, it's not a Yom Tov. You're allowed to work on Purim? There's no, you're allowed to do malacha. You're allowed to turn on a light. You're allowed to drive. Right? You're allowed to write. You're allowed to do malacha. And nevertheless, the Rama writes, look at number two. Yesh shenagu lilboish bigdei Shabbos v'yom tif b'purim. There are those who have a custom to wear Shabbos clothing, yom tif clothing on Purim, v'chein nachon. And that's the proper thing to do. To wear Shabbos clothing on Purim. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says, kasu achorinim, the achorinim write, d'nachon lilboish bigdei Shabbos gam kimi ba'erav. it is proper to wear Shabbos clothing in the evening as well. So not only should you wear Shabbos clothing on Purim, when you come to shul the night of Purim, you should wear Shabbos clothing. Look what he says. And then when you come home, the yimtza achakach beveso neros dolkos, you should find when you come home the candles lit, the shulchan aruch, the table set, umitza mutas, and the bed sheet spread out. In other words, Purim, you should treat it like Shabbos or Yontif. You should wear Shabbos clothing even at night, and when you come home, the candles should be burning. Could somebody tell me why you should do this? Why should you wear Shabbos clothing on Purim? Purim is not Shabbos. It's not a Yom Tov. Anybody ever hear of anybody wearing Shabbos clothing on Hanukkah? Nobody wears Shabbos clothing on Hanukkah. There's no minhag even to wear Shabbos clothing on Hanukkah. Do people wear Shabbos clothing on Rosh Chodesh? No. So why Purim, all of a sudden, is there a custom to wear Shabbos clothing? In fact, the Gemara Megillah tells us that originally when the Chachamim instituted Purim, they instituted it as a day of Simcha, a day of Mishta, and a day of Yom Tov, a day of happiness, a day of Suda, and a Yom Tov, not to do work. But the Jewish people didn't accept it upon themselves. They only accepted upon themselves Mishta, Simcha, but not Yom Tov. We didn't accept it as a Yom Tov. If you look at Megillas Esther, first it calls Purim Yom Tov, and the second time it talks about it, it leaves out the word Yom Tov, because we didn't accept it as a Yom Tov. So why is there a custom to wear Big Day Shabbos on Purim? Okay, another question. So first we want to know, why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not in this week's parasha? And what is this, you know, so in Adar you have to talk about Purim. It's, you know, we're coming close to the first Purim Rishon. Why is there a custom to wear Big Day Shabbos on Purim? Another question is, take a look in this week's parasha. If you have a Chumash in front of you, it's on page 474. Now, after Aaron, and Aaron wears the Big Day Kahuna, so now he's ready to, you know, to start up the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. You know, it's kicking off the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, so they bring certain karbanos to get things started. Okay? Now, if you look in the Torah says, what kind of karbanos should you bring? Parechad. One bull. Okay, very interesting. Why one bull? Why not two bulls? Why not three bulls? Then it says, Ve'elim Shnayim, two rams. Why two rams? Why that number? You have one bull, you have two rams. Then it says, if you look in Pasuk Beis, Lechem Matzos, V'chalos Matzos. You have matzah loaves and matzah. Why everything matzah? Why can't you bring chametz? Well, we have something against chametz. We're not inaugurating the Mishkan on Pesach. So why do you have to bring matzah? What's this matzah business? Why do you have to bring matzah? And then it says, Soles Chitim, flour of wheat. Flour of wheat. Why the flour of wheat? There are a lot of types of flour. You could have barley flour. You could have oat flour. You could have spelt flour. Right? Why Chitim? Why Chitim? And then we're going to see the first aisle, if you look on page 476, the first aisle, you shecht it, and you don't do anything with the blood. The second aisle, the second ram, you take the blood, you sprinkle it on the ear of Aaron and his sons, on the thumb of Aaron and his sons, and on the big toe of Aaron and his sons. Why is it the first ram, you don't do anything with the blood, and the second ram, all of a sudden, you're busy sprinkling the blood on every right part of Aaron and his kid's body? Why? Okay, so these are a few questions we want to deal with. Number one, why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not mentioned in this week's parasha? Why not? Every other parasha's name appears. Number two, why is the minhag to wear Big Day Shabbos on Purim? The Rama writes, on Purim, it is proper to wear Big Day Shabbos. Why? Purim is not a Yom Tov. You don't wear Big Day Shabbos on Chanukah. You don't wear Big Day Shabbos on Rosh Chodesh. Why should you wear Big Day Shabbos on Purim? You're allowed to do work. You're allowed to do malacha. And we want to know, what are all these karbanos? One par, one bull, two elim, two rams. The first ram, yeah, you don't do anything with the blood. The second ram, you take the blood, you sprinkle it all over Aaron, his right thumb, and his right ear, and his right toe. What's that all about? Okay. Rabbi Yisrael, we're going to learn something very interesting this evening. And that is, if you remember when we were learning Parsha Shemais, we said that Sefer Shemais is really part two of Sefer Bereishis. Why? Because originally in Sefer Bereishis, Hashem's Shechina, His Divine Presence, was over the tent of Avraham Avinu. Right? Remember? There was an Anon on top of the tent of Avraham and Sarah. And the candle that Sarah lit remained dalak. And her bread remained fresh from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. And that was lost. That was lost. Until we were able to restore it with the Mishkan. And the Mishkan, the Anane HaKavod, rested on the Mishkan. The menorah, the Ner Maravi, stayed lit. And the lechem of the Shulchan remained fresh from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. But if you remember, we said something even more than that. We said, not only are we restoring the way the world was by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we're bringing back the way the world was when? From Adam HaRishon. Right? If you remember, by Adam HaRishon, what was the world like? The Pasuk says, if you look in the Medrash in number 5, it says, Adam and Chava heard the voice of Hashem, right? Traveling in the Gan, walking in the garden. In other words, Hashem's Shechina, His Divine Presence, was down here. And slowly, 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 remember, you show me a Medrash, the Shechina departed all the way up to the Shemayim until it was brought down. Avraham one, Yitzchak one, Yaakov another step, the Shvatim another step, until finally it was brought down to this world with the Mishkan. Okay? So the purpose of the Mishkan was what? To bring the world back to the way things were by Adam HaRishon. Okay? So what we're about to learn now is this week's parasha primarily focuses on the Big Day Kahuna, the garments that the Kohanim wore. This is very closely related to Adam HaRishon. Why? And we're going to introduce this with a brief biography of one of the great Rishonim. He lived in the period at the end of the Rishonim, one of the early Achronim, one of the great Sephardic leaders of Klal Yisrael, somebody who is not often spoken about, was a very great individual, and he wrote Sfarim that are very important. And this Gadol's name was Rabbi Avraham Saba. Rabbi Avraham Saba. Samach Beis Ayin. Avraham Saba lived from 1440 to 1508. Okay? So you can imagine, he lived in Spain. And in 1492, when the Jews were exiled from Spain, he was already a very accomplished Torah scholar. He was already 52 years old. And he was exiled from Spain along with his children. And he fled to Portugal. In Portugal, Rabbi Avraham Saba wrote a perush on all 5 books of the Torah, called Tzror Hamar. He wrote a perush on 2 Megillos, Megillas Esther and Megillas Rus, called Eshkol HaKofer. He wrote a perush on Pirkei Avos. However, Rabbi Avraham's stay in Portugal was very short-lived, because soon King Emmanuel made a decree, terrible decree, that all children under the age of 18 were seized from their parents' home and forcibly baptized. Not some children, not most children, all children. Rabbi Avraham Saba, one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, lost his 2 children, never saw them again, they were baptized. So, terrible tragedy. Terrible tragedy. Not only that, his Sfarim were confiscated, all his manuscripts were confiscated. He was able to hide the manuscripts of his own Sfarim. He buried it in a corner of his house. But later, it was discovered that he was hiding his manuscripts, and he was told that if he doesn't burn them, he would be killed. So he had to take his manuscripts, and he buried them under an olive tree. He never saw them again. He moves to Morocco. In Morocco, he wrote over his Sfarim from memory. This Sefer we have, Tzvar Hamar, we're about to read from, was rewritten from memory, and he came there with his son Yitzchak. It's really heartbreaking to read about a Gadol B'Yisrael losing 2 young children forcibly baptized. It breaks your heart. But I also read his son who survived, he had a son that he brought with him to Morocco, later became the father-in-law of Rabbi Yosef Karo, of the Mechaber. So it's a little bit of a nechama. So he was, Rabbi Yosef Karo was, Rabbi Yosef Karo's wife was the granddaughter of Rabbi Avraham Saba. granddaughter of Rabbi Avraham. And interesting, the Chida writes in the Shem HaGdolim that Rabbi Avraham Saba was on a boat going to Italy. It was attacked by a very fierce storm, and the boat was about to capsize. And the sailor of the boat, who recognized Rabbi Avram's saintly ways, he said, "Please pray for us to survive." Rabbi Avraham Saba was very weak, and he felt his end was coming to very close. And he said, "Look, I'll pray for the storm to stop if you promise me that when I pass away, you don't throw my body overboard, you bring me to Kavura, to burial." They promised him. The storm stopped. Rabbi Avraham Saba passed away Erev Yom Kippur, and the sailor kept his word. They brought him to Livorno in Italy, and he was buried. He's buried in Italy in Livorno, and he's buried with great kavod when the sailor brought him back to Italy. Okay, so listen to what the Tzrar HaMar tells us. Says the Tzrar HaMar, says Rabbi Avraham Saba, there was a certain individual who was distanced from the world. His name was Adam HaRishon. Somebody had to come close. Somebody had to be brought close. Because what did Adam HaRishon do? Because of his sin, he caused the world to be like unstable. The world did not have a basis. It did not have a base. It did not have stability. Adam was distanced. The job of Aaron HaKohen was to do the work in the Mishkan to give stability to the world. Okay? How is Aaron introduced to the Avoda? Take a look on page 464, Pasuk Aleph, Vi'ata, Hakrev Elecha, come close. Not like Adam HaRishon who was distanced, you gotta come, now you come close. You're taking the place of Adam HaRishon. You, Ve'es Banavito, and your two sons. Why your two sons? Why your sons? Because Adam HaRishon's sons also, they caused the world to be unstable because Cain killed Hevel. Your sons need to step forward and give the world stability. Okay? So this is an idea introduced by the Tzrar HaMar, Rabbi Avraham Saba. By the way, the Tzrar HaMar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yitzchak de Leon, who instructed him in Kabbalah. But this is an idea now that the Tzrar HaMar and the Shlach HaKadosh develop very beautifully. Okay? The Shlach HaKadosh tells us that the Mishkan was really a tikkun, a rectification for the world. It gave the world stability. And therefore it says about the Mishkan, V'chol Adam lo yieh be'oyel moed. No person should be in the oyel moed. Literally it means if you're not a Kohen. But if you read it very literally, you want to be a real stickler for the language, V'chol Adam lo yieh be'oyel. Adam, meaning Adam HaRishon, we don't want you to have anything to do with this. You had your chance. Now it's Aaron's turn. Now we're going to give Aaron a chance to make up for what Adam HaRishon did. By the way, okay, fill in the blank. Olam, blank, Yibaneh. The world is built on Chesed. Olam, Chesed, Yibaneh. The world is built on Chesed. If Aaron HaKohen needs to, so to speak, rebuild the world, what is Aaron called in Parashas Vezos HaBracha? Tumecha, V'yurecha, Liish, Chasidecha. Aaron was called the man of Chesed. Because since he needs to build the world, and Olam is Chesed Yibaneh, Aaron is called Tumecha V'yurecha Liyish Chasidecha. Okay, very interesting. What do we say about Adam HaRishon? Do you remember? Adam HaRishon eats from the Eitz Hadas, and then he realizes Ki Aram Hu, he realizes he was naked, he realizes he was uncovered. So what does Ribbono Shel Olam do? Take a look at number 8. Vayas Hashem Elohim la Adam ula Ishtai. God made for man, for Adam and his wife, kasnais oyer, garments of skin, vayal bishem, he dressed him. Remember this pasuk? God made for Adam HaRishon garments of skin and he dressed him. Says Rabbi Avraham Saba, this week's parasha that speaks about what? The garments, the clothing of Aaron HaKohen, is a rectification for Adam HaRishon. Why? Because Adam HaRishon's garments were only to cover up his erva, to cover up his nakedness, not for honor, not for a dignity, just to make sure he's not embarrassed of his erva. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you, Aaron HaKohen, look in this week's parasha. Now, let's say, take a look at Pasuk Gimel, the end of the Pasuk, page 464. V'yasu, I'm sorry, Pasuk Beis, V'yasisa Big day kodesh, li'aron achicha, le'kavod u'le'sefaras. For you, you're going to have garments, not l'chasos b'sar erva, not to cover, just to cover you up. You're going to have garments for honor and dignity. This was the tikkun for Adam HaRishon. Okay. We're just getting warmed up now. We're just getting started. Okay? Just getting started. What kind of garments did Adam HaRishon wear? What was he wearing? You know? What? Suit. Suit with the tie.
Loincloth.
What?
Loincloth. Loinskin.
What were his clothing made out of? What kind of clothing did he wear? So the pasuk says, "Kas noisar, skin." Take a look at the medrash. Take a look at the medrash. Look at number 10. Adam harishain haya bechayr shalayla. Right, Adam Rishon was a bechar. Obviously, he was a bechar. Right, he was a bechar. The kivan shakirev karbanai. And when he brought his carbon, when he brought his offering, shenemar. How do we know he brought a carbon? V'sitav l'Hashem mishar par makir mafres. It was good to Hashem like an ox, like a bull that has horns, that has hooves. What kind of clothing did he wear? Lavash bigdei kehuna gedayla. He wore the garments of the Kohen Gadol. Shenemar, like the pasuk says, Vayas Hashem Elokim la'adam u'le'ishtai kas nois oyer vayal bishem. God made garments of leather and he clothed him. So you'll ask, what do you mean? The garments of the Kohen Gadol were not made out of leather. We'll see. So the Medrash is telling us that the garments that Adam HaRishon wore were the Big Day Kahuna Gedayla. Very interesting. The Big Day Kahuna Gedayla. So it comes out very good, what we're saying now, because the whole point of Aaron HaKohen putting on the Big Day Kahuna was to be misakin what Adam HaRishon was not able to, his mistake. So Aaron HaKohen obviously has to wear these same begadim, the Big Day Kahuna. Says the Medrash further, Big Day Shevach Hayu. What does it mean, Shevach? What does Shevach mean? Bang. What?
Shevach?
Shevach.
To make it
splendid. Oh, praiseworthy, right? Shevach. Yeah, Shevach. Shevach yikar ugdu. Yeah, Shevach. That's one. Okay, that's what the Medrash says. They're a big day Shevach. However, by the way, I was searching for this Medrash for a very, very long time. It was very hard to find because it's in Bamidbar, you know? So I'm looking for a Medrash to find out what kind of garments Adam HaRishon wore. You know, the last place you think it would be is in Parashas Bamidbar. Anyway, there's another Girsa. You know what a Girsa is? Another text, another way of reading this Medrash. Not Big Day Shevach, Big Day Shabbos. Big Day Shabbos. Okay? Why Big Day Shabbos? Because what day of the week did God dress him up? It was Friday. When did he sin? He sinned Friday, right before Shabbos. So these begadim, not only were they Big Day Kahuna, they were Big Day Shabbos. That's what the Eitz Yosef says. Look at number 11. He has a girsa, Big Day Shabbos hayu. Shebe Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, Kodem Halayla Chata. Before night he sinned. V'achar kach, and afterwards, Vayaslo Kosno, so he made him garments of leather. Okay? So if somebody asks you, what were the garments made out of? By the way, Rabbeinu Bechai says, God took the snake, he took off his skin, and he made garments for Adam HaRishon. But we're not going with that today. The Medrash here says he was wearing the Big Day Kahuna, and they were Big Day Shabbos. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, look in the Pasuk one more time, number 8. Count the words in the Pasuk. How many words in this Pasuk? 8 words. How many garments does a Kohen Gadol wear? 8. It's the remez that these begadim were Big Day Kahuna. 8 garments. Okay? So the Zohar says in number 12. Okay?
So he changed his wardrobe second time. First he wore Big Day Kahuna, and then after the sin he wore a regular...
No, the Big Day Kahuna was what he wore after the sin. These are the garments that God dressed him up in are the Big Day Kahuna Gedola. These are the garments. And they were Big Day Shabbos. Now, what was he wearing before the sin?
Nothing.
Not so pasha. We're going to see. Okay, you ready? You're strapped in? Listen to this one. Now look at another medrash. Number 13. Vayas Hashem Elokim li'adam u'le'ishtai kas naisar vayal bishem. God made for Adam and his wife garments of leather and he clothed him. Rabbi Sai, that's what it says in our Sefer Torah. Says the Medrash, you know what it said in Rev Meir's Sefer Torah? Different words. Different words. B'sarasso sh'Rav Meir matzu kasav. In the Torah of Rav Meir, they found it was written, kasnois oyer, garments of light. Not garments of skin, garments of light. By the way, in Hebrew, the Aleph and the Ayin are interchangeable. Aleph always means more spiritual, Ayin means more physical. There are other examples of it than other than light and skin. In other words, what the Medrash is saying in Rav Meir Sefer Torah, it wasn't written God made garments of skin, God made garments of light.
What do you mean by that?
Now, first of all, in that case, Rav Meir Sefer Torah was pasul. Because if you write an aleph instead of an ayin in the Sefer Torah, you take the Sefer Torah, you put it away, and you take out a different one. So what does it mean in Rav Meir Sefer Torah? It was written garments of light. Like light, he emanated light. So in number 14, the Rambam says like this. The garments of light are what Adam HaRishon wore before he sinned. If you want to know what was Adam HaRishon wearing before he sinned, he wasn't wearing physical clothing. His body emanated light. And that was the garment. It was like he had a light around, surrounding him. That's what covered him. The same way the luchos, Chazal tell us, when Moshe brought down the luchos, they emanated light from one end of the world to the next. Something that has holiness gives off light. Remember when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, they said, Vayaro so kitov, they saw he was good. Rashi says, the whole house is filled up with light. When something has kedusha, it gives off light. So the skin of Adam HaRishon gave off light. After the sin, it became kasnos ar with an ayin. He had leather hide. He had big day kahuna. Before the sin, he was covered in light. So let me ask you, why is Rav Meir and Rav Meir Sefer Torah, why did it say kasnos ar with an aleph, garments of light? This is after the sin. The answer is, because Rav Meir was always thinking about the madrega of Adam HaRishon before his sin. So that brought him to write kasnos ar with an aleph. You hear?
That's why when we do Havdalah, we look at the nails to remind that that's how Adam was emanating the reflecting light.
Maybe. We look at the nails, because Adam HaRishon's body, according to Kasnosar, they say he was fully nails. Mm-hmm. He was fully. Maybe there's something more there. Okay, so what we're saying now is, before Adam HaRishon sinned, what was his garment? Kasnosar with an aleph. After the sin, it was Kasnosar with an ayin. Okay? The Arizal tells us, it's not in the sheet, that Rav Meir reached the Madrega of Torah, where he was able to purify himself so great that for him, he had kasnos ar with an aleph. Rav Meir had kasnos ar with an aleph. That's what it means in Rav Meir Sefer Torah, it was kasnos ar with an aleph. Because Rav Meir was the same way Adam HaRishon before his sin, his body was so kadosh, not just his neshama was kadosh, his body was kadosh that it gave off light. Rav Meir reached that Madrega that his body gave off kasnos ar with an aleph. Okay? Now, let's get back to the Big Day Kahuna. Okay? The purpose of the Big Day Kahuna was somehow to rectify and bring back Adam HaRishon lost the kasnos ar with an aleph, the garments of light. The Big Day Kahuna was trying to restore that concept of kasnos ar with an aleph. If you look at number 17, that's what the Shlach HaKadosh says. Ve'eila ha-begadim, these are the garments of Big Day Kahuna. Malbushe kavodim, these are garments of honor. Midugmas kasnos ar, these are like the garments of light that Adam HaRishon had originally. So by Aaron HaKohen wearing the Big Day Kahuna, he was restoring kasnos ar with an aleph. Says the Shlach HaKadosh. Okay, this is incredible. This is really incredible. What language are the garments of Aaron referred to as? Kutanos, the Torah says. The same words as kasnos. Okay? The Torah uses the same phrase. Kutanos. The same as the kasnos are. What is a non-Kohen called? A non-Kohen is called a Zar, a foreigner. Okay? Where did this concept of being foreign come from? It came from the poison that the Nachash injected into man. It says that not only did the Nachash persuade Adam to do an Avera and Chava to do an Avera, he actually lived with Chava. He had relation with Chava. He injected a certain poison into man, and that caused man to, his physical body to descend to very low levels. Okay? And therefore, the concept of being a Kohen and pushing away this concept of being a Zar is trying to remove yourself from this Zuhama, this poison that the Nachash injected into man. Listen to this. What was the first garment of the Kohen Gadol? Choshen! Ches Shin Nun. Nachash. Choshen. Says the Shlach HaKadosh. The Choshen was to push to be Mamalei, to rectify the problem that the Nachash called. So the Choshen, which is the same letters, just interchange, is a rectification for the Nachash. And that's why Aaron HaKohen was given certain restrictions of food. Certain karbanos he's not allowed to eat after a certain time period. If the karban was brought with the wrong intentions. There's something called pigul. There's something called nosar. Because this was God restoring the original command. Just like Hashem said to Adam, don't eat from this fruit. Hashem says to Aaron, don't eat from these karbanos. That was bringing back that original command. That's what the Shlach HaKadosh tells us. Okay? And therefore, the Tzrar Hamar uses this idea to explain all the karbanos that were sacrificed when they inaugurated the Mishkan. We said, you bring one par, one bull, that corresponds to Adam HaRishon. That the par, two elim, Kayin and Hevel. One ayol, you just shecht it, you don't do anything with the blood. Hevel didn't do anything wrong. It's the second ayol, Kayin. You take the ayol, you shecht it, you sprinkle the blood on the ear of Aaron. Why? Because Adam HaRishon did not listen to Hashem. Did not listen to Hashem. But then, the Ribbono Shel Olam says more. You need to take the chazeh ha-tnufa, the breast of the animal, the belly of the animal. Why the belly? Because the nachash is cursed. Al gechon chatelech. Crawl on your stomach. Crawl on your stomach. And finally, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, my shechina will not come down till the Mishkan, until two of the sons of Aaron pass away. Right? Nadav Avihu. To rectify the sin of Kain and Hevel. So all of the various specific aspects of the parasha are explained to try to bring the world back to the way it was before the sin of Adam, before the sin of Kain and Hevel. Okay? Very interesting. And by wearing the Big Day Kahuna, which we learned, Adam HaRishon originally was wearing Big Day Kahuna, and they were Big Day Shabbos, we're trying to restore the world to the kosnos are with an aleph. With an aleph. Okay. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Avodah Zarah that the Romans had a certain holiday that they kept every 70 years. This was a holiday. They would take a guy, a healthy guy, a robust guy, and they would put him on the shoulders of a cripple. They would dress up this healthy guy in the garments of Adam HaRishon. They would take the scalp of Rabbi Shmuel. If you remember, Rabbi Shmuel was a very handsome man, and the daughter of the Caesar desired him. So when he was being executed, she flayed his scalp to preserve, and she preserved the scalp in perfume. They put the scalp of Rabbi Shmuel on the head of this strong guy, as if to say, Esav! Right? Because we know Esav took the garments of Adam HaRishon. Esav rules over Yaakov. And they made the following announcement. Yaakov said the Gula is going to come. Ha! He's a cheat, he's a liar. Gula is not coming. You see a Gula around. And they would go through this procedure every 70 years. Every 70 years. Why 70 years? Because just like Achashverosh, at the end of the 70 years of his calculation, he made a big suda celebrating the fact that the redemption had not come. The Romans did the same thing. Rabbi Sai, what did Achashverosh wear at his suda? Celebrating the fact that the Gula did not come, says the Gemara in Megillah, look at number 22. It said he was showing off as Oisher Kavoid Malchusoi, Amar Rabbi Yosi Melamed Shalavash Big Day Kehuna. Ahasuerus put on the big day kahuna to celebrate the fact that the geula did not come. Why? Why would he put on the big day kahuna? Because the purpose of the geula shalema is to bring the world back to the way it was when God created the world. But if we don't have the big day kahuna and the goyim have the big day kahuna, that means we cannot be misaking the world. That is a representation of the fact that we are still suffering from the chait of the nachash. By the way, Haman represents the Nachash, right? By the Nachash, it says, Hamin Ha'etz, the Gemara asks, Haman min HaTorah minayin, where is there a remez to Haman? By the Eitz Hadas, Hamin Ha'etz Asher, right? Haman. In other words, when the Goyim want to celebrate the fact that the Geula is not coming, and that the Jews are hopeless, they put on the Big Day Kahuna. Because when we have our Kohen Gadol wearing the Big Day Kahuna, it shows that we are able to bring redemption to the world, bring the world back to Adam Arishon called him Achet. But when the Goyim want to celebrate, the Romans, what do they wear? The Begadim of Adam Arishon. What does Achashverosh put on? The Begadim of Adam Arishon. Now this is amazing. As soon as we have Achashverosh wearing the Begadim of the Big Day Kahuna, what does Mordechai wear? What does Mordechai wear? Look at number 23. Mordechai Yada es kol asher nasa. Mordechai figured out everything that happened. Vayikra Mordechai es begadav. Now Mordechai tears his clothing. If the goyim are wearing the big day kahuna, that means how's the gula going to come? Mordechai tears his clothing. Vayobash sak va'efer. He puts on sackcloth. You don't get kosnos ar with an ayin more than that. There's no more physical, lowly garment than sackcloth. And Esther sends him, here, take a fresh set of clothing. The pasuk says, "Vatishlach begadim lahalbish es Mordechai ulhasir sakim elav v'loy kibel." He doesn't accept. I'm not removing my sackcloth. But then, what happens when things turn for the Jews? Achashverosh gives Mordechai the big day malchus. The big day malchus. Look and turn the page. Mordechai yatsa milifnei hamelach. Mordechai went out before the king. Bilvush malchus, in the garments of royalty. Tcheles, blue wool. Chor, white wool. Vayaterazov gedoyla, v'sachar blue naman. When the simcha turned, when we were able to be saved, when we had a hatzala, when we were saved from Haman, Haman is the nachash, then we are able to put on our big day kahuna. We're able to put on our garments of honor, representing the fact that perhaps we will be able to bring the world back to kosnos ar. What's the very next pasuk? La Yehudim Haisa Aira. Yehudim Haisa Aira. Okay, now listen to this. How can a person transform kosnos ar with an ayin, physical garments, to kosnos ar with an aleph, to light? How is it possible? How is it possible? There are two ways. Two ways. When you write a Sefer Torah, when you write, what are you doing? You're taking or, you're taking hide, right? And you're putting Torah on the hide. You're transforming the or of the Torah, the cloth, into oira, zutaira. Fine, that's very nice. You do that to the cloth of the Sefer Torah. But how does a person do it to his own body? How do you do it to your own body? Remember, how many luchos did we have? Two pairs. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the first luchos, it says the luchos shone from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Why? On the first luchos, by the way, not only was the written Torah on there, the whole Torah Shebaal Peh was on the luchos. Everything. It shone from one end of the world to the other. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos. On the second luchos, what was written on the luchos? What was written on the Luchos? Just the Torah Shebichsav. Just the Aser Sadibros, which alluded to all of Torah Shebichsav. The second Luchos did not have Torah Shebaal Peh. Where was the Torah Shebaal Peh written? On the head, in the head of Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't written on the Luchos anymore. It was inscribed in his mind. It was inscribed in his mind. So now, who became, what was the claf of the Torah Shebaal Peh? Moshe Rabbeinu. He comes down from the mountain the second time. The Jewish people can't look at him. Next week's parsha. He had karnei hod. He had light emanating from him. Why did he have light emanating from him after the first luchos and not after the second luchos? Because the first luchos, all Torah Shebichsav and all Torah Shebapeh was on the luchos. It wasn't in Moshe Rabbeinu. The second luchos, only Torah Shebichsav was on Moshe Rabbeinu, on the luchos. The Torah Shebapeh was where? In Moshe Rabbeinu. So he became the parchment of the Torah Shebapeh. He became the Sefer Torah. That's why he emanated light. What did he have to put on? It says in the Torah he had to put on a mask. Because the light emanating from him was like the light emanating from the first luchos. So what do we see from here? When a person learns Torah Shabbat Peh, it's going to be a few more minutes. When a person learns Torah Shabbat Peh, just like when you learn Torah Shabbat Sav, the osios on the Torah transform the leather into Torah R. When you learn Torah Shabbat Peh, you transform your body, your skin, to aura, to light. To light. In the times of Purim, Chazal tell us, actually when the Torah was given originally, did the Jews accept the Torah willingly? Well, the Gemara tells us, when Hashem offered us the Torah, He took Har Sinai, He suspended it over our heads, and He said, if we accept the Torah, good. Otherwise, you'll be buried right over here. We had to be forced to accept the Torah. The question is, Tosus asks, well, we know the Jewish people said, Nasa v'nishma, we accepted it willingly. So it's a contradiction. Did we have to be forced, or did we accept it willingly? So the Gemara says like this. I'm sorry. Tosfos on Chumash says like this. The written law, we accepted willingly. Hashem gave us the words of the Chumash, we accepted willingly. It's the Torah Shabbat Peh, we had to be forced to accept. The Torah Shabbat Peh, we did not accept willingly. Okay, why? It's much more difficult. Torah Shabbat Peh is more difficult. However, the Gemara tells us in the times of Purim, we accepted everything willingly. Okay? Rabbeisai, that means that when did Klal Yisrael accept Torah Shabbat Peh? Purim. When were we able to transform the Kosnos R with an Ayin to Kosnos R with an Aleph? Purim. That's why when the Gezerah was rescinded, because Klal Yisrael did Tshuva, and that means we were able to transform Kosnos R with an Ayin to an Aleph, Mordechai yotza melefnei hamelech belavush malchus. Belavush malchus are the big day kavod of the sefaras. These are the big day kahuna, so to speak. Because now that Klal Yisrael accepted the oral law, what's the oral law written on? The Jew. That means the Jew is able to transform his physical body into kosnos or with an aleph. That's why the very next pasuk is la'yehudim hoysa oira. Oira is referring to the Torah. There is one individual who did not need to wear Big Day Kahuna to transform the Kosnos R with an Ayin to a Kosnos R with an Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara in Tainus has a question. When Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron HaKohen to do the Avodah in Beis HaMikdash, what did he wear? Did he wear Big Day Kahuna? We know he didn't. Gemara says he wore Big Day Lavan, he wore white garments. Says the Shlach HaKadosh. Why did he wear white garments? Because he didn't need to transform Kosnos R with an Ayin to Kosnos R with an Aleph. He didn't need to transform physical clothing to spiritual clothing. He had it the whole time. Because when he was born, it says, Vayaro so kitov. He emanated light from the time he was born. He was already on the Madrega of Adam HaRishon before the Chet, before he started. Aaron HaKohen needed to wear Big Day Kahuna to transform the physical clothing into spiritual clothing. But Moshe Rabbeinu was beyond that. He didn't have to wear Big Day Kahuna. He was able to wear Big Day Lavan, white clothing. He was already wearing Big Day Kosnos R. Rabbi say that's why Parshas Tetzaveh is the only Parsha that does not mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name, because it's not relevant to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is beyond Big Day Kahuna. The other reasons we're saying Moshe's name isn't mentioned, because as maybe a punishment. No, this is L'shivcho Shel Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was so great that the whole parsha of Big Day Kahuna is not relevant to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Shlach HaKadosh says, Moshe Rabbeinu served the Big Day Lavan. He already had Kosnos R with an Aleph. Rabbo said, perhaps that's the reason why on Purim, you wear a mask. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was Mekabel, the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Oral Law. So it transformed his skin into light. people couldn't look at him. He had to wear a mask. So why do we wear a mask on Purim? We're thinking about the idea, we're ingraining within ourselves that Purim is a time that we accept the Torah Shabbat Peh. And someone who accepts the Torah Shabbat Peh wholeheartedly, he's able to transform his body, so to speak, into the cloth of the Torah. Now we have the light of the Torah. That's why, perhaps, one of the reasons we wear a mask on Purim. Shkoyach. Have a good evening.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.